Shalom and shalom, Havarim, friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Glad you could join us tonight here live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, and on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com, streaming live. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our sister Sheila Crawford, teaching on a very serious topic tonight, and a forbidden one, I might say, in some circles. We're very glad you decided to join us as we continue in the book of Jude. Amazing, though, how just one chapter can contain so much meat, so much steak to chew on. As always, be sure your Bible is open and you're ready to take some notes. We believe tonight's subject matter should be used as an evangelistic tool due to the days that we are living in. And you will want to share these truths with a friend that may still be sitting on the fence, because some of this stuff is mind-blowing, to be honest with you. But first, we want to ask the Lord, of course, as we always do, to join with us and bestow on us his wisdom while covering us with his divine protection, especially for this next hour. And, Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity to be here live, to lift you up, to put your word and the truth of your word out over the airwaves and over the Internet. We praise the power of your name, and we use it as a cover for us, along with those listening to the program, Lord. I know that you can provide heavenly, angelic protection for us, and we need that these days. May you be glorified as we ask you to consider the prayer requests we've recently received, as we accept your will in all these matters of our heart. Lord, we just lift up those people that, especially your people, that have been touched by these awful tornadoes out in the Midwest, Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. Lord, we just lift them up and that you comfort them, that you provide help for them immediately, as well as those that don't know you, but especially those that do. And we just pray for all those children that are involved in this and the families, that if there's any still looking for loved ones, that they would find them and they would have their answers, and that you would comfort their hearts as only you can. And we also lift up the loss of our loved ones and our families, that Lord, before that they would recognize, Lord, help them to recognize the times that we're living in, and that they would repent before it's too late, because soon your bride will hear that awesome sound of that trumpet call, that shofar sound. And remember, saints, the day of the Lord is right at the door here. And we know that Peter wrote in his word that we should be leading holy and godly lives as we see this day coming, and it's coming soon. So, Lord, we just thank you and bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, and our escape. Amen?
Amen. And shalom to you, John, and all our listeners tonight. And may God's grace and peace abound in your life. Hmm. And may, particularly this broadcast, increase your desire, really, to want to get closer to your Savior. So, to be sure, all the armor of God is on, and it's in its proper place, because we're going to need it.
That's really what it's all about.
Isn't it, though?
And if you've been a listener for any amount of time, you know what that armor is, right?
That's right. It's the Word of God.
We reminded you of that, and we also want to remind you that the phone lines are open, and if you have a question, feel free to call. That number is 888-677-WORD. And by the way, all missed programs are archived on shofarministries.net. So if you have a question, you don't want to be on the air, well, that's understandable. Just call it in. Give it to our producer, Derek. He'll pass it along to us, and we'll be able to answer it over the air. And before we get started, Sheila, I got to ask you, we have a little news tonight, a lot of news, just a little, right?
Yes, but just a little, because we have so much to cover.
Okay.
And basically it's Israel. They're currently exchanging fire with Syria, but it is on a low level in the Golan Heights area. But it could erupt into a full-scale war, so we're just watching really closely as the entire world as well is heating up with evil, increasing its powers. And actually, that is our subject tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to actually redeem our remaining time very wisely and get right into tonight's study.
Are you saying that's it?
That's it.
That's the news. Good. I'm glad. This is a very important subject. And it's a subject that you could make fun of and has been made fun of and made light of.
I did it myself.
And
I'm telling you, I just didn't believe it.
I know. I've been where you are. And the thing is, when you get enough information, you start seeing the truth of what's really happening out there, that this really gets kind of scary.
Yeah.
But we're not trying to scare people.
Not to us, though.
Not to us. We're not trying to scare you, but we're trying to get you to realize the timeline we're on and how close we are to the end of days, or the end of the coming of the Lord is what we're talking about.
And as you said in the opening remarks, mm-hmm. what we're going to talk about tonight can definitely be used as an evangelistic tool.
Right.
Because if you're not saved, you have so many possibilities of actually being possessed by the devil because he's growing stronger, and you don't want that. So you need to tell all your loved ones that unless they get saved, it's a very high probability and possibility as the days get closer to his return.
That's right, and the deception is getting so...
Oh, my gosh. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Deception. Right, right.
Yes.
Book of Jude.
Yes, let's do a quick overview of what we did in the last 2 weeks. This is our third week.
The little old book of Jude, one chapter.
Yeah, one chapter. Oh, my goodness. He was the brother of Yeshua, and he actually says that he was compelled to write to the true believers, pleading to them to contend for the faith. He was pleading.
And, Sheila, you pointed out that the word contend means to struggle.
That's right.
For the faith.
And it's going to be a struggle sometimes. It's a lot easier just to say, oh, well, he can believe whatever he wants and walk away. But if you know the truth and that he's saying something different, we need to struggle and tell them the truth.
We need to swim upstream, in other words,
instead of
floating downstream.
Yeah, to stand
mm-hmm.
up boldly, mm-hmm. regardless of the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
This letter of Jude, in my opinion, was written even more so to those living in the end of days, when evil would be at its peak since the days of Noah.
And that's probably why he, in the blessing in the beginning of the book, he included, he blessed us with mercy.
Oh, yeah.
As well as grace and peace, but mercy.
Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have to remember, it's the last letter before the book of Revelation.
And that's not just a coincidence either.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Jude informs us that certain ungodly men have crept in, unnoticed, preaching heresy. And we explain the difference between an apostate and a false teacher.
Yes, we did. A false teacher teaches error, but really doesn't deny that Jesus is God or doesn't deny the virgin birth, still adheres actually to the fundamentals of our faith.
That's right.
That's a false teacher.
And an apostate, though, he actually denies one or all of the fundamental truths. The major one being that Christ is not the only way to heaven, that there's other ways too.
Mm-hmm.
That's apostasy if they once knew the real truth.
Uh-huh.
And today, so many are compromising the gospel.
Well, they don't want to offend anybody. But who are they offending?
God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And 2 Peter 2 actually complements the book of Jude. And I know we read this last time, but I think we should read it again.
Yes.
Do you mind?
I don't mind
at all.
Verses
20 and 21, John.
Okay. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them.
That says an awful lot. There are apostates. Apostates are ones that did have the truth and then let it go.
Yes.
Turned around.
I think these are actual people that not only had the truth, but were well familiar with the truth.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And that makes it even more
And I
serious.
Think through the weeks we've actually mentioned a few of those people that I saw say things right on the internet, you know, on YouTube, where you can see them move their mouth and it matches what they're saying. So it's not like somebody just told me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see it now.
Uh-huh.
This is, you know, the information age.
Sure is.
Okay, before we get going, I do want to have you read again Jude 5, 6, and 7, because we're going to particularly continue on and hone in on verse 6 tonight, because...
Okay.
We didn't get a lot of time to do that last time, so why don't you reread that?
Okay, be happy to. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
That's right. Now, we covered verse 5 pretty extensively in the last week. Actually, it was the second week.
Okay.
And then verse 6 we're going to expound on, but I also want to mention about verse 7, too, where it says that having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh mm-hmm. are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This is the Sodom and Gomorrah thing.
Mm-hmm.
And God said in Genesis 2:24 that a man should be joined to his wife. So anything else is strange flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's what that's referring to. Or like Jude said, sexual immorality would be very big. And that would include bestiality as well, I believe, too. And we'll be touching on that in a few minutes.
Wow.
But if you're out there, if you're practicing any sexual immorality, unless you truly repent and change your ways, the word is very clear. You will suffer in eternal fire.
That's the bottom line and end of the story. But it doesn't have to be the end of your story.
That's right.
Because, you know,
there's
time. We were born in sin. Hey, I was born into sin. I was a sinner. And I still am. But but Jesus' grace and the blood of his sacrifice on the cross has made me acceptable to God. And now instead of going down the other way, I'm going up.
Amen.
You know, and that's the only difference.
But I'll tell you what, in this world of ours today, that's not the case. And if you're being deceived, by the way, and saying, oh, everybody's doing it, you know.
Yeah, someone's trying to tell you that adultery isn't a sin and it's okay to live in, you know, to live with a partner.
You're being deceived.
You're being deceived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And America is a Sodom and Gomorrah, not only for engaging in that particular sin, but also by the mere condoning of it.
Right.
And then persecuting those of us who speak the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very demonic, by the way.
I guess so.
Yeah, it definitely is.
This sexual sin is a demonic thing. It's very influenced by demons.
Yes. So in verse 5, 6, and 7, it reminds us that God does judge. And that's really the whole idea of Jude. He just wants us to know that he's coming to judge. He has judged in the past.
Yeah.
So don't get complacent like he's never going to do it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And he just happens to mention these main sins where he did judge.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're supposed to really learn a lot of revelation from Jude, just to the fact that God judges. However, because especially verse 6 is not discussed that much, we're just going to say a few things tonight. But but basically, God does judge, and he does give three major examples. First, he gave the Israelites in the wilderness for the golden calf incident and not fighting those giants in Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And the fallen angels that left their first abode in heaven and cohabitated with daughters of men to try to defile the human race. And God judged them.
And yes, he did.
But here's the deal, too. It says that he put them in chains of darkness until the day of judgment. And I just wanted to remind people of that. It's not because he's going to judge them again. It's to let them loose during the time of judgment.
That's right. That's the judgment that they're being reserved for, the judgment on mankind for our sin that's going to occur during the tribulation. He's going to actually release these demons.
Do you remember where in Revelation it confirms that?
I think it's chapter 9.
You're right.
Am I?
Yes.
We'll
yes,
see him.
The angel comes down, opens up the abuso, and they come out, and they look actually the very big locusts, shapes of men's heads.
Oh, my.
Oh, it's really gross. But anyway, that's that. And also then God judged whole cities for the sins of homosexuality. And be sure to pray against all the parades that are taking place in America for Gay Pride Month next June.
Yes.
Our own state of Ohio is having one in Columbus June 21st. That's a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So pray that it's a thunderstorm. And they're having another one in September. I mean, these are all over. I mean, they've got a calendar on the Internet. I mean, it's just this is the way it is. But this is, again, part of why God is coming to judge.
I wasn't really sure how to pray concerning this, but it would be nice that if some people that...
Well, we can't stop it.
We can't stop it. But if you're a Christian, you want to go down there and you want to get represent God down there without being violence and without being nasty, but just presenting the truth. There'd be some there with the truth of God's word.
Right.
And to pray while you're there. That would be good. We need people like that to do that. So that would be my prayer. And it's not just happening in Ohio. This is worldwide stuff, right? And even in Israel,
definitely,
right?
Yeah, even in Israel, they're having Gay Pride Week in Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv, and they've had that before, too.
Yes, they have. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to stop homosexuality at this point.
I don't think so.
I just want to pray for those that they find the truth. Mm-hmm. And
don't you think it's ironic that they can't have a gay pride parade in Jerusalem because the Muslims won't allow it?
That's right. That's right. Amen.
How about that?
One good thing, huh?
Yeah. Okay.
So,
we'll get to,
I have been urged by the Holy Spirit, actually, to talk in more detail, as I said, about verse 6. And I do encourage you to go to the first 2 weeks of Jude and listen, especially since there has been a huge increase lately in the UFO alien sightings.
You mean go back to the last two programs we did?
Yeah.
On shofarministries.net?
Yes, to catch up on Jude.
Okay.
Yeah.
On podcasts. Okay.
And we also touched on it when we discussed the apostasy in the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
particularly since the Vatican II Council,
mm-hmm.
where now you don't even need Jesus to go to heaven anymore. So that's a big apostasy.
I read it right there in the Catechism.
Actually, people should be leaving the Catholic Church in droves, but instead it is increasing.
You're kidding me.
Due to that heresy prophecy, because it's, they're not bigoted. All faiths can go to heaven now. All you have to do is believe in God. It doesn't matter about Jesus.
So their membership roster is growing?
Well, that's what I was told.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but.
Wow.
Again, you can re-listen.
ShofarMinistries.net.
That's right.
And that's, we started this, beginning?
Well, actually, about the Catholic Church was in January this year.
We started that way back mm-hmm. then. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but they have their own observatory, which we also mentioned, but I want to remind people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's manned by the Jesuits, and it has an infrared camera, and they named the camera Lucifer, and it's attached to the telescope. They can see color in the skies.
Mm-hmm. And they can see a lot of things you can't see with the naked eye, even with the telescope.
You mean the other telescope, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They openly declare they have seen aliens. And that they will be showing themselves to the world soon. There are Jesuits that are saying that.
And you know what? There's not a big outcry of people saying they're crazy. You know why? Because they are seeing these things.
No, they are.
Yeah, they really
a lot of people are.
They really are. And they're aliens. So what's their purpose?
Well, I think it's to tell them that we're going to help you get it right, to save the world, because mm-hmm. we are destroying the earth, something like the earth's going to pot.
Well, that's kind of true there, isn't it? In Colorado, I think it
okay.
is.
All right. Anyway, Dr. Funes is a Jesuit priest and the director of this conservatory. No, it's an observatory, isn't it? What's it called?
I think it's an observatory.
Observatory, okay.
Yeah. Conservatory is close.
Okay. It's located high on Mount Graham in Arizona, and it was known previously to be a spiritual high place for the Apache Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Who said the observatory was an insult to the mountain spirits. Anyhow, Father Funes said that life could have evolved from aliens. And others have inferred that as well. And I believe that's what the deception will be, especially when they show themselves to the entire world. Sightings over the last 20 years have been gradually increasing, and now there's like thousands being reported every year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I believe their agenda is to evangelize the world to the belief
that aliens are going to be, or
that we came from aliens.
We came from aliens.
That's right.
And that aliens are going to rescue the earth.
Yes.
And of course, remember in the program we did about that telescope, we told you that the Jesuits were saying they can't wait to, when
I
they
know.
Meet the aliens, they're ready to baptize them.
That's right. So they're acting like they're friendly, and they are portraying themselves as being friendly.
Yeah.
You got to admit, didn't you like the movie E.T.?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did like it. Well, a lot of people like the movie E.T.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's deception.
It's deception, and the stage has been set. We always have a friendly attitude towards the idea of aliens now.
Many do. Mm-hmm. Many do. Look at the Katy Perry video mm-hmm. that we've talked about a few times.
Yes.
I mean, my, oh my.
I think she's more than a little friendly.
She's more friendly, yes, yeah. definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly can see how easily they would go along with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody wants to see some kind of miracle. Who doesn't, to be honest with you? Who doesn't? Who wouldn't like to see something come out of the sky and tell you everything's going to be all right?
Right.
But
right.
we're here coming through the airwaves telling you, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
And unfortunately, unless you are saved, you're going to be deceived.
Well, even there's some saved ones that are getting deceived by certain things that are falling out of the sky, and they're thinking it's from God, and it really isn't.
It really isn't.
So you have to be so careful. And the only way you can really, really have this discernment is to spend time in God's Word, because that's where it comes from. Hebrews 5 talks about that.
And that's that armor in Ephesians.
And I understand that today people are actually having dreams, and they're reporting these dreams, and they have these dreams of the earth being caught on fire. And then these spaceships with little flesh-colored men coming down and fixing it all just in time. So, and by the way, they're not green. They're flesh-colored.
They're flesh-colored. So you say the demons are giving the unsaved these?
Yes. That's what I understand.
Very vivid, as you describe dreams.
Yes. Mm. And thousands are reporting this. And, of course, we know they have a leader,
mm-hmm.
Satan, who will reveal himself through the Antichrist after we're gone. And he'll do many lying signs and wonders. They will be captivated, the people, just captivated.
Oh, absolutely.
And there'll be a false prophet, according to Revelation 13, who will promote him. And, of course, again, they're so into the alien thing, I could see it maybe being the Pope, false prophet.
It could be.
In my opinion.
Well, I've really seen in our culture now aliens and the idea of UFOs and aliens go from being backwards, silly stuff to serious, and now to, like, accepted and even looked forward to or looked favorably upon.
Oh, yeah. Because they think that we need them to come and help us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But again, that's just so much deception. But let's go back to the fallen angels again, because obviously they have a seed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, God conveys that they do when he cursed Satan in Genesis 3:15. Can you find that?
Yeah. Let's go back and look at that. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Here he's talking to Satan, right?
Yes.
And between your seed.
Satan's seed.
Mm-hmm. And her seed.
Mm-hmm.
He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So he's saying right there.
That Satan has a seed. Duh.
Duh. Well, you know, that never really leapt off the page for me till right now.
Wow. Okay.
That says that is a mouthful in three words there. Two words, your seed.
That's right.
Wow.
And I want to bring up another scripture that we're not going to be able to get to, but for those of you that are taking notes and want to investigate this a little further, there is a scripture about seed in Daniel 2:43, and I'll read it real quick, but again, we're not going to have time to do much with it. But in Daniel 2:43, it says, "And whereas you saw iron mixed together with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men."
Mm.
So I don't know who they is, but mm-hmm. they shall mingle with the seed of men. And to me, that could mean something on the alien abduction kind of stuff.
Ooh, we're going to have to check that one out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just haven't had time to really take it apart.
Now, I've heard for years now of and read many books about alien abductions, especially of women.
Mm-hmm.
And
mostly of women.
Mostly of women. Not always, but mostly of women.
And I understand they're never born-again Christians.
Well, that's what we're
finding
out.
And that is amazing.
Well, that's what we're finding out.
And yeah. that right there, if people do their homework and see that, that would be enough to make me, if I wasn't a born-again Christian, to certainly become one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as a woman. But there is a Christian author and researcher. His name is L.A. Marzulli, and he has done extensive work on this topic and believes spirit entities are making hybrids in order to inhabit a body, which could be why they appear as underformed children. They don't forget these disembodied spirits are always looking for a body.
Yeah.
Think of the example with Jesus and the legion of demons in the pig.
Mm-hmm.
What was in the man and then put him in the pigs. So they're always looking for something to live in.
Right, right.
So if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, they can't live in you.
That's right.
That is, to me, enough right there to be wanting to be covered by the blood of Jesus for that protection alone.
And I'll tell you what, they'll go nowhere near you.
No.
They won't. And if they
it's easy to get rid of them.
It's easy to get rid of them. You just say, in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. you have to go. But I'll tell you what, I learned a long time ago, I was sort of like the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I never was going to see a UFO because I was saved.
And
I had a little problem with that because I wanted to see a UFO.
Yeah. Well, that could be why it's so hard for Christians to believe it.
That could be, but I knew they did exist, but I kind of knew, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. This is, you know, John, you're never going to see them because they're not going to come anywhere near you
mm-hmm.
because of my spirit in you. And so I kind of went with that, but you know, he did let me kind of glimpse at some things, and I'm just to satisfy my curiosity. And,
yeah.
I'm very convinced.
Well, as I was going to say too, we definitely are tempted, and
yeah.
there can be all around us.
Right.
You know,
I just saw some of their craft. I didn't see their an actual body or anything like that. I just saw their aircraft.
I wasn't talking about aircraft. I was just talking about demons in general.
Well, right.
But
yeah.
No, I've never seen an aircraft, that's for sure. But I did see just recently the movie Roswell, and it about floored me because I'd never done a study on it before, and I should have because it was actually been around since 1947.
And you never did because?
Never did because I was always told I didn't need to, and they weren't real.
Okay.
But anyway, Roswell the movie, it's on YouTube. You can check it out for yourself, do your mm-hmm. own investigating. But be sure your armor is all on. That's always important. But L.A. Marzulli, again, has many books and DVDs. You can get them at Amazon and through Prophecy in the News with Gary Sturman. He's on his show often.
Oh. Okay.
And other shows. But we need, as Christians, to be informed because the unsaved need the right answers for the many questions that this stuff is going to bring. And you don't want them to believe a lie.
Right.
And
you can't ignore it anymore because it's something's really happening out there. And it's a heavy deal.
And it's not going to go away. We already know that evil is increasing.
That's right.
Exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
Again, until we leave at the rapture, that's about as much as we'll see. But then it'll really explode.
Right.
So, let me remind you, there are different kinds of angels. And apparently some, if they rebelled and then had to leave heaven, could then mate with women. And we see that in Genesis 6. We do not know all the details about everything, and I'm not an expert. Let's not try to reason it out too much as to why.
Mm-hmm.
Some things we just will not fully understand. But I have to tell you, I take the Bible literally whenever possible, and to me, these verses in Genesis, as well as Peter and Jude, and even Job, referring to the fallen angels as the sons of God, is enough for me to conclude that some angels did sin. And after doing some research, believe they are still trying to defile the human race. Because Genesis 6:4 says there were Nephilim on the earth in those days and also after that.
Yeah. And can you define Nephilim real quick?
Well, actually, the Nephilim are the offspring of a fallen angel with a human woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked like giants.
And do you think they, well, obviously they have seed too, apparently, right?
Yeah, they would have
like
to.
Like Satan
they
did,
would have
right?
To. Yes.
Okay, they would have to. And then do you think they could have mated with animals as well?
I absolutely do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also probably where the mythology doctrine comes from. And some were worshipped as gods, so maybe they really saw these things.
I think so. And anybody could think back to their high school history. And if you can remember the Egyptian gods that had the heads of animals, like mm-hmm. a bird or an eagle mm-hmm. and a body of a man.
That's right.
And in Greek mythology, like the half man, half goat.
I mean, would they make all that stuff up? Way back then, and have to draw pictures of stuff they didn't really see?
Well, not only draw pictures, but carve the darn stuff in stone over and over again.
Yeah, I have a feeling that, you know, that these probably were more true than not. But
yes. Hmm.
I wasn't there.
Well, we do know that they were here, once again, when the Israelites were supposed to go into Canaan the first time and David killed Goliath, right?
That's right. I actually think now, after my research, that in the wars, all the wars of the Old Testament, it was really about killing the bad seed more than anything else.
Now, when you say bad seed, can I insert something really quick? Just think of it as genetic. Think of it as bad DNA.
Mm-hmm. Same defiled.
It's the same deal.
It's defiled.
It's seed is the DNA.
That's right.
It's the building block. It's what's going. It's inseparable from your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's there, it doesn't go away.
That's it. So when the flood occurred, it eliminated that wicked, defiled flesh called the Nephilim that originated from the fallen angels, who, by the way, are now chained in Tartarus, as we already said. Some call it the Abuso or the bottomless pit. But their spirits still roam the earth and are called disembodied spirits, always looking for a body. And again, even an animal, although they prefer humans.
That's true. And you hear them singing, "I ain't got no body," a lot of times, but I'm sorry. It's getting real serious here. I had to throw something in there. How many really do you think of these beings are there? I mean, are there enough that we have to worry about them now?
Are you asking how many died in the flood?
Yeah. How many of these beings?
Well, I'm glad you asked that.
These guys roaming the earth.
Because I did some research.
Oh, okay.
I think we might have even mentioned this before, but some really smart scientists figured out, since there was no contraception and no abortion during those times, that there probably, and since they lived so long, there were probably about 7 billion Nephilim, or the seed of the Nephilim.
7 billion Nephilim?
Yeah.
Defiled flesh. And yes. that would be what fraction or part of the rest of the inhabitants?
Yeah. For 1,000 years.
There was quite a few.
Yeah, 1,600 years, actually. Yeah, that's quite a few, and it's interesting because they said 7 billion, because 7, of course, is a complete number, so I thought that was interesting. But,
if they had defiled flesh with their DNA, which is like the leaven hidden in a lump, I mean, once it's in there, it makes the whole lump leaven.
Yeah. So if that many were destroyed, then that would mean that many disembodied spirits roaming the earth.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot. That's something to think about.
Yes.
Well, how do you answer those who think that the sons of God are just the descendants of Seth marrying the daughters of Cain?
Oh, yeah.
Because
you know,
a lot of people think
we do need to address that.
Yeah.
I've done some homework on that. It just cannot be possible. Because how would they have produced giants? Neither one of them had either line had anything like a giant's gene in them. You know, so that sounded real strange, but there's more.
Mm-hmm.
I think the passage in Job that we'll read in a minute will kind of clarify it. But besides, these Nephilim and their descendants weren't even redeemable. If someone marries from, let's say, the line of Seth marries the line of Cain, they should still be redeemable.
Well, yeah, okay, if they're not Nephilim, right?
Right, but these weren't.
Oh, okay. Well, even Moses didn't marry an Israelite, right?
That's right.
So
I don't think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't wash in my view. But let's look at a little bit deeper. The book of Job uses the term sons of God as well when he describes angels. We won't read this part, but in Job 1:6, Job 2:1, you can read about that. But I do want to read Job 38, where God reveals his omnipotence. Okay. Would you read verses 4 through 7?
In Job. Okay, here we go.
Job 38.
Job 38. This is God talking to Job, right?
Yes.
Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?
Okay, so obviously the sons of God were with God at the time before the creation of man. While he was created, you know, everything else, So how could it possibly be the descendants of Seth?
Well, they couldn't be because the man isn't even created yet.
That's right.
Interesting. Do we have time to go to a break, or we're going to keep going right on through? I do want to make an announcement, though. I guess we'll save that for the end.
Yes.
Okay.
We will.
Okay.
Genesis 6:4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. And we already said that, but I want to continue. When the sons of God, so again, these are angels, came in into the daughters of men, and this were the daughters of Adam, and they bare children to them, and they became mighty men, different word for men, which were of old, men of renown. So they've been around for a very long time. But it could be even before man.
Yeah, because the word for old there is what, olam, and that means they've been around for ages.
Possibly for eternity. Yeah.
Very interesting take on that verse there. But I've got to say, you're not alone in that. A lot of people and a lot of scholars, Bible scholars, do believe what you're saying.
Yes, they are.
It's funny
how the church really isn't up to snuff, and that's what I think we need to be doing. So anyone who's listening this tonight, and do some more investigating, find out if what I'm saying is true, and then start telling your unsaved friends and family that they need to get saved, even if it's just for this reason.
Yes. And you will find that people will come out of your family, members of your family will tell you that they might have an experience,
That's true.
With a UFO or with an alien being or something like that. And you could tell them, hey, let me tell you about that.
And if anyone out there listening might have had an experience, please email me with it, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. I'd really appreciate knowing if this program has helped you to be more open with it. But I do want to say that archaeologists have found very large bones and very large skulls.
Mm-hmm.
They're elongated, but they aren't allowed to be on display here, so they actually are in Peru, where they're openly in a museum. You can go and see them. But these skulls are very large, elongated, with only two plates, where the human skull has three divisions.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they're very elongated, looks like a cone head, actually.
Yeah, and can be, it looks like some pictures, depictions of aliens that were...
It's not human.
That came out of... And it's not
definitely
human.
Definitely not human.
Well, not with two plates.
That's
it would
right.
have to be three.
That's right.
So there's some kind of genetic deal going there.
That's definitely right.
Yep.
And UFOs are being seen by thousands of people, especially pilots, by the way, who have always been commanded not to speak of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Roswell incident. For the first time I saw that movie not too long ago, I'm sad to say.
Well, welcome to the club. You're in the same boat with me and the rest of us.
Yeah, and I could see why it was all, you know, shut up and almost understand it, because it probably would cause a lot of problems. You know what I'm saying?
People would have panicked. I think the Air Force was keeping it under wraps because we wanted to use it like the Nazis did as a secret weapon.
What?
The technology of the UFOs, which we were getting from the aliens.
I don't know. But well, that's another topic.
That's another topic right there.
There's probably so much that we don't even know anyway. And now we see the Vatican studying these aliens all the time. Mm-hmm. And who knows the stuff that we don't even hear about.
They look at them as converts. Seriously.
Or serious.
And we're serious about
that. Soon to be
converts.
So let me try and recap the important reasons why we should not be oblivious to what is going on in our few remaining minutes.
Okay.
Remember, Satan wants to be worshipped as God, which is why he fell and coerced a third of the sons of God at some point to follow him.
And they are called the sons of God only in the Old Testament, okay, because they were directly created by God. As was Adam, okay?
Now, the New Testament believers are also called sons of God because we, too, have been born by God spiritually and are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who is God.
Right.
So, sons of God were the angels because they were directly created by God, and Adam was called a son of God because he was directly created by God, but they're the only ones in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Okay.
And don't throw Jesus in there being the Son of God, because that's a whole
different
program.
Yeah. He is God too.
He is God. Yeah.
So Satan decides to defile the human race, obviously, because he can, with human women.
producing offspring that were very large and called the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm. And almost succeeded till God destroyed all but eight in the worldwide flood. So all those who were destroyed, which had the fallen angel's evil seed, obviously died, but their spirits roam the earth still and are called disembodied spirits or demons.
Mm-hmm.
Demons are always looking for bodies to inhabit, but cannot go where God lives.
Yes.
Which is why Christians, although can be harassed and tempted big time, cannot be possessed. If they say they have a demon, it's because they have a head knowledge salvation and need to repent and get it right. Okay? Otherwise, it could just be a chemical imbalance and are either lacking good nutrition or need to seek medical attention.
Yeah, and start with medical attention first and go from there. That's my advice on that one.
Okay, so after the flood, we see once again more giants. And that would fulfill Genesis 6:4 that says there will be more coming.
Before and after, right?
Yes. So at least it happened twice. But this time God wants to help the Israelites get rid of them. So, you know, the ones, the giants in Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they will not listen and trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is often asked, as we might have mentioned already, how could God allow women and children to be killed? But the reason is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to eliminate the bad seeds before all get infected again.
That's right. It gets passed on. DNA is passed on from generation to generation.
That's right. Remember when God told Saul to kill all the Haggagites?
Mm-hmm.
He left a couple, and that eventually produced Haman in the book of Esther,
mm-hmm.
who almost succeeded in annihilating all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with those descendants, by the way, are still here today.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is another program, but they are. Now, not in giant form, because they have been weakened or digressed over the centuries,
mm-hmm.
but the evil seed is still here.
Oh, and so you're saying that perhaps maybe twice some of the angels which fell is why that there were more giants there in the land of Canaan, like, you know, where Goliath was from. But after that, the seed keeps getting passed down and...
Right, which I do not believe now there's been another case of fallen angels, so there are not these kind of giants roaming the earth today.
Okay, that answers that. Okay, cool.
Okay, but their seed is still here.
Gotcha.
And through the years, it's digressed so that we could still have very tall people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily...
We're not saying that the NBA
exactly.
is...
No.
No, we're not saying that at all.
I am not.
No.
And again, I'm not an expert at this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing this out to you so that you can do your own homework, but it is a very possible scenario.
Yeah, and you got to be careful, too, because this is just relating to the Bible and how it includes the people that we've seen historically in the land of Canaan, the Nephilim and all that, as recorded in the Bible. You shouldn't go around trying to decide who has bad genetics. And you know what I'm saying? Only God knows that, I think, at this point.
At this point, yes.
Yeah.
But it does explain the verse in Psalm 58. Remember, I think we read that last week, where there are some...
That are born wicked from the womb.
That's right.
Yeah. But if you're born again, and we as born again Christians, we don't have to worry about that.
No, we
right?
don't. That's right. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Just use the name of Jesus, and they will leave you alone.
Yeah, so if you're being if you think you're going to be abducted, you don't even really have to be saved. You can say in the name of Jesus,
yeah.
you need to leave me. And
That's right.
I've heard they go, they leave.
Yeah. I wish I had time to tell you a little story about in Walt Disney many years ago when I was in that ride that a ghost would sit in each chair as you went around in a circle.
Hmm.
I was the only one it didn't sit with. And that's just funny, I know, but it just really happened, and I just never forgot it. But anyway, just
I guess you had to be there.
You had to be there, but my kids saw it.
Well, they did.
And they go, wow.
Wasn't a real ghost, was it?
I doubt it, but it still wouldn't sit with me. I just want to tell you that. Oh, well. Anyway, Josephus, the first century historian, also speaks about the men of renown as Greek gods like Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
Who was possibly a Nephilim at one time.
I agree with that.
They probably built the pyramids too, these giants.
Mm-hmm. At least the oldest pyramids, right?
Yeah, why not? It has to be somebody pretty darn strong.
Well, yeah, and pretty large. It could would certainly help moving those large stones. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, you have the many writings and pictures of the half-man, half-beast mythological figures that we call, you know, the half-goat, half-man, and, mm-hmm. and the whole pantheon of gods, actually, there are.
Egyptian Maybe it's
gods.
Not really a myth.
Well, I don't think so, because I think myths are all rooted in some
truth.
In some truth,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, again, that's, you know, I'm not saying this is what you have to believe out there. I'm just throwing it out.
Yeah.
Satan's goal, by the way, though, is still to defile the human race and cause them all to worship him. That is what it's all about. As an alien, he will achieve that, at least for a while, a little mm-hmm. while, 7 years.
Hmm.
There have been very good Christian scholars as far back as the 1700s who have written that the last sign before Jesus returns is the return of the Nephilim.
Hmm.
How about that?
As far back as the 1700s?
Yes.
Hmm.
This time in these little men on UFOs, perhaps. But history does repeat itself, and it has gone full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we'll be back to the Garden of Eden. But what happened right after Eden? Satan made them fall, so we're right before that again.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is back. But during the Millennial Kingdom, or the Garden of Eden, as some want to call it, at least Satan will be chained this
He'll
time.
He'll be chained up. So
for 1,000 years, anyway.
Hallelujah.
But, okay, now this is a story that I really didn't know whether I wanted to say it. And I said, well, Lord, if there's time, I'll do it. And if you don't want me to, then rush the time. And I think we have the time, so I'm just going to say it.
Okay, let's do it.
There's these abduction stories. And here is an average abduction story, by the way. There are many. But most afraid to talk about it. But women are taken, usually at night, quietly, taken aboard a UFO ship. They become complacent and do not fight it, almost like in a hypnotic state.
Mm-hmm.
They're not real positive what happens to them, but some kind of manipulation goes on in the reproductive area. Some even think it was all just a bad dream, for they end up waking up in their bed. However, many of them, about 3 months later, discover they are pregnant and are soon re-abducted, and the baby is removed at this stage. It's a breeding program, and then the women sometimes know what happened and are afraid to say anything for fear of being told they are crazy. Never happens to anyone who knows the Lord, and in the case of one woman, she was abducted even again and shown her baby to her.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a baby alien, slanted, hollow black eyes, pointed head, etc. She went back, and what is interesting, she was so afraid, she did tell her best friend, who took her to a born-again pastor. She got wonderfully saved, and the next time the demons did try to take her back, she immediately told them she was blood-bought, and in Jesus' name, they had to leave and never come back. It was 10 years ago, and they have never bothered her again.
Glad you said that story. You took a big chance tonight telling this, and for obvious reasons. It's certainly it's not a feel-good message, but it's something that we have to start speaking out about this stuff. And like Sheila mentioned earlier, if this has happened to you, please shoot her an email. Sheila, what's your email address?
Sheila@shofarministries.net.
Yeah,
but again, this is an evangelistic tool. This is protection.
Exactly.
Who wouldn't want to be covered in the blood of Jesus to protect them from all this evil, who are really manifesting themselves in different ways and will continue to increase? These demons have been on a breeding program harvesting DNA for who knows how long, but the sightings are increasing and they will continue. So there you go. And we are out of time, but I got just about everything done.
Just about everything covered, and we're gonna pick up right again next week where we left off. I do have time for one announcement here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is just shift gears really quick. I want to tell you about this. Some talented teenagers from Chardon, Ohio, will be performing live tomorrow evening at Fairmount Temple's Brickner Auditorium in Beechwood. The Holocaust play titled I Never Saw Another Butterfly, which is a moving drama based on the true story of a survivor of Hitler's model ghetto in Czechoslovakia, where thousands of Jewish children were interred during World War II. Now, don't miss this final inspirational performance tomorrow night, May 22nd at 7 p.m. It's only $5 at the door. And afterward, Holocaust survivor Betty Gold will speak to the audience. And the address for that is 23737 Fairmount Boulevard. That's 23737 Fairmount Boulevard, Beechwood, Ohio, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Right? Okay, if you have a question for Sheila or like her to speak at your church or church group, just email her. We just gave you her email address. It's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Okay, and I don't have what you have, so I'm going to let you say it.
Okay, well, I just want to just remind people that if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you are concerned you might not be one of those who have just a head knowledge and not really a heart conviction, you need to get on your knees right now. Repent particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. Then commit, and in some cases recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. He's there for you. He wants you. He's calling you. But it's always your choice to choose him, thereby making it your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It has to go somewhere. And there's only two places, with God or with Satan, and you have to decide. So don't waste your life away. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever. And who knows what God can accomplish right now through you.
Yevrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai p'na v'lecha v'ihunecha, isa Adonai p'na v'lecha v'yasimcha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We'll see you next week, same time.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.